The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Thanks for being with us. We have Peter King today. It's time, I think. We are very happy to have Peter on board. I am just giddy because we are in August and there is no sign of fake football anywhere in sight because all the preseason games have been washed out. Done. See you later. And we're very happy with that. So we're going to try to do something with Peter that Peter attempted to do in his column yesterday. And that is talk nothing but football. We're going to attempt to do it. I don't know if we'll get through the entire interview without talking about coronavirus or players opting out or all of those things. I just think fans would like to hear a little bit of football. So Peter King will be with us. I also believe people like to hear fantasy football news. That's why we have Michael Fabiano as part of our team. Michael had a big career move that we're going to talk with him about. Two big career moves for him, in fact, in the last 6 weeks. So Michael Fabiano, both of them will be Skyping on in, so you will see them on today's show. We're brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union. I went into Desert Financial Credit Union in Gilbert. This was last week. I went in there, had some deposits to make, and as I went in there, everybody was masked up. There was a very nice sign out front. It wasn't like this little thing. I walk in there. Everybody was friendly, took care of the transactions. They offered me a bottle of water on the way out. I walk out. The drive-through was busy. Everybody is being taken care of. Little things in the current state that we're in, where you're just trying to get business done, right? And you have a friendly face. You don't have somebody there that's cranky and crabby and says, no, we have to do this, we have to do that. They have a very simple website to navigate. Make sure you check them out. It's where we do our business with Sports 360 AZ. That's Desert Financial Credit Union. We appreciate their support. Football AZ show is on tonight following the Diamondbacks game. We are hoping for 5-4 walk-off in the bottom of the ninth inning. That's what we hope for, because then there's an audience. We are not hoping for, I don't know, 3-7. That's just not good. Today is a huge sports day. On a Tuesday, we have a huge, and we have daytime sports. Eric joins us for a few minutes, Senior Executive Vice President of Nothing or Everything. So we have Coyotes Nashville this morning. We have Suns Clippers in the afternoon, and we have Diamondbacks Astros tonight. Of the three, which one will you miss?
Which one will I miss? Yeah. I will probably not consume the entire Astros Diamondbacks game.
But you will be watching, because are both the Coyotes and Suns interesting to you today?
Yes. Yes.
Me too.
And I agree with you. I love the triple headers, especially the way they're somewhat, you know, just by coincidence, kind of spread out. I think the Coyotes start 11:30. The Suns game is at like 1, and then the Diamondbacks play at 6:10. So there's not a bunch of overlapping, which is, I'm sure, makes Fox Sports Arizona happy. So
for the three of the games today, of the three, to me, if the Suns were to beat the Clippers, that would be like, wow, they're 3-0. And no one is expecting them to beat the Clippers. No one was expecting them to be 3-0. But they'd be 3-0 in the bubble. I know. What, they have to be 8-0, right?
Yeah.
So no one's expecting them to win today. If the Coyotes win in this town, they'll be, because it's not the Suns. No offense. If you're a Coyote fan, this is just a fact. If it were the Suns and they were in a playoff series, we wouldn't even be talking about this other stuff probably. But if the Coyotes win today, they're up 2-0. They're 1 win away from advancing on. There'd be a ratcheted up. If the Diamondbacks do anything tonight on the positive side, it's just, well, okay, whatever. Because they'd be, what, 4-7. They got a big hole. They're in a big hole already.
I sort of look at the Suns as that March Madness team that has to play the play-in game and then turn around and play like a really good team and then turn around if they beat that really good team and play another really good team, because they won their play-in game, quote-unquote, against the Wizards. Then they had the upset win over the Mavericks, but now you have to play the Clippers. And usually in college basketball, the team just the play-in team usually just runs out of gas, and I kind of think that I think the Suns' bubble is going to burst today because the Clippers are really good.
I watched the Lakers last night. Did you watch them?
I did.
they're just kind of cruising and playing around with teams.
Yeah, they kind of, exactly. Like, they played even with the Jazz, and then in the third quarter, they just turned up the volume, and I think when I turned it off, they were up like 18, and I saw they won by I don't know how many, double digits.
I came here into my office in the second quarter, and they were down 13, and I was probably, I don't know, just reading some stuff, and 10 minutes later, I look up, and it was a tie game. So, and LeBron wasn't even on the floor.
You know what the bubble has done, Brad? The bubble has basically turned back the clock on NBA basketball to like the early 90s when teams were scoring like 125 to 135 points a game consistently. Like almost all of these games are 129, 126. Even the Spurs Sixers last night, two teams that you don't think would be scoring in the 120s. I think that was like a 1-point win. And I think Philly won, and it was like 130 to 129.
Well, the games, I'm finding myself watching. I don't miss fans. I don't miss fans. I like hearing the Fs and the Ss. I like the rawness of the games. I feel like they are playing hard versus, you know, when you go to an NBA game in November or December or January, even into February, before the All-Star break, the first 4 months, they're not playing hard every night. It's like going to see a Broadway play and they have the C and the D and the E backups that are doing their thing. And then in the NBA early in the season it's just low grade dog food, in my opinion. And it's a great product because that's why the playoffs every year are so great. And that's because the season is so dang long. But if the NBA looks at this, I haven't seen the numbers, like what the ratings do look like night in, night out. But the NBA looks at this and says, you know, we should probably start our season with preseason in March. And after the Final Four is done, we start up in April.
Agree.
And we finish in late August.
Totally agree.
I don't see where that is going to harm people. I don't see where, and part of it is, yeah, you're going head-to-head with the NFL and you're just banging your head against the wall. But part of it, too, is the calendar over summer needs to be filled. Baseball's not doing it. Like, baseball more than ever is showing they should have done a bubble. They should have done a bubble. When you see how successful the bubble has been with the NHL and the NBA and even Major League Soccer, and we're sitting here at baseball, and I think the Marlins have played three games, and the Cardinals have played three games. And so they're talking about finishing with an unequal number of victories. Well, the whole season then has been compromised. And if you're worried about a bubble and a second round of the virus in some of these markets, you can't have this happen in October when it's playoff baseball and enormous dollar signs are sitting there. You have to establish a bubble. You can't do it now in the regular season. But you can say, okay, we're going to start the postseason on October 4th in Phoenix and in Texas and in Miami, and let's just get these bubbles going, Tampa Bay, get these bubbles going now. And I really believe, Eric, I'm serious about this, that baseball not doing a bubble obviously is a mistake, but to look at their postseason in jeopardy, because here the NHL and the NBA are doing their postseason. Their sponsors are being taken care of. The quality of play is hard. Like the Coyotes game was fun to watch. It was end-to-end, wide open, big stuff going on. The NBA so far every night, I found myself sitting there like you were just talking about the 76ers-Spurs game. Like, you don't ever do that.
No. And you know what this leads us into, Brad? How the heck is college and NFL going to pull this off if baseball can't pull this off with no bubble? How? It's football. You know how much more no social distance these NFL and college football players are compared to what you could do in baseball if you did it correctly?
Well, and I was talking with someone with Arizona State yesterday, and they said, we're going to have 30,000 students on campus here in a few weeks. So you know there's going to be an outbreak.
For sure.
I read this morning in Missouri, a principal at a high school saying, he never would have thought he'd see kids test positive. Well, why not? And he had four kids test positive on the very first day. My son goes back to high school tomorrow, and he's not in person, but our school district yesterday sent out an email saying, we are sorry that you can't get through on our phone lines because they are all tied up with phone callers. This is the biggest school district. The Chandler School District was just overwhelmed with people. They handed out 4,500 laptops yesterday. So they're trying to get all these kids geared up. And to think that there's not going to be anything at all that happens. And there's parents that say, well, you need to have herd immunity. Well, it doesn't impact young kids. And you know, and I know there's some college kids that were just in high school that have had the virus. So how do you get the sports taken care of? I know it's deep stuff, but it's like baseball. Tony Clark, and I know Tony well. I know Tony very well. I did his games. But man, did he crap the bed on this. Unless, because I haven't talked to him about it. Unless it's just the players are just Looney Tunes, crazy, and didn't want to do this. And the owners saying, well, we don't want to put the money into it. It's a ton of money the NBA is putting into that product. For all the security and all this, you know, taking care of things, if baseball is trying to get by without paying the money out because they're going to lose money anyways, you know, on the football side of it, you've got, what is it, Oklahoma saying they expect 40,000 fans out at their first game? How's that work exactly?
I don't know. I mean, I can't see how that's going to be possible, but again, that's not my problem. So,
well, it is your problem because it's part of the sports world.
It is. It is, but that's a good problem for the schools that have huge attendance figures for the Oklahomas and the Clemsons and the Nebraskas. It doesn't impact all the schools, but I guess how are they going to play good cop, bad cop if you're only allowing other schools to let in, say, 20,000 fans, but for some reason Oklahoma's allowed 40,000? Is it because of the capacity of the stadium? Is it because of their season ticket base? I don't know.
Well, and in the Pac-12, what's going on up at Stanford, where they've got players, everybody's sequestered, from my understanding, at Stanford already. And they don't want to play. So, and they've already cut sports. So if you have one team within the conference, as I'm sitting here today, I will be absolutely stunned if Arizona State plays Arizona on time on September 26th. Just think, that's just unrealistic. And on the high school end, I think anything before October 3rd just doesn't sound right. September 7th doesn't sound or feel right now. That's, what are we at? That's 6.5 weeks away.
Yeah, it's September 11th is technically.
Yeah, September 11th. You're right. I'm sorry. Yeah, September 11th. And that just doesn't feel right. Just doesn't. No. Peter King is next, then Michael Fabiano. Stay with us. It is so good to talk football and other things with Peter King. Football Morning in America, the Peter King podcast this week has John Harbaugh, Lamar Jackson, and others. And Peter, in his column this week in Football Morning in America, went from start to the first, I don't know, 1,000 words of nothing but football. So I'm going to try to do the same thing here with Peter, where it's nothing but football. With camps opening, what is the one football story on the field you are most intrigued by? It cannot be COVID related or anything football related.
I mean, I think I'll give you two of them that intrigue me a lot. One is Tom Brady fitting in with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers with the best supporting cast. I think possibly the best that he has ever had in his career. He just turned 43, obviously. The question now is, can he turn back the hands of time a little bit and play like he did even 4 or 5 years ago? If he does, I mean, when I rated the teams in the NFL this year, I rated, this was in early June, and I said that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers were the fifth best team in football. I think they've got a young, growing defense. And I think if Brady even plays at a B to B plus level, that team's going to win 11 games. The other team that really fascinates me is the Las Vegas Raiders. Because if you think about it, Brad, you know, I talked to Mike Mayock over the weekend, and one of the things that is so interesting right now about this team, just from a football sense, is, okay, and again, you don't think about this until you hear Mike Mayock talk about going from how it's 65 degrees with a sweatshirt on every day in Alameda, you know, near Oakland, which is where their training facility is. And now, you know, for the next 2 months, it'll be 112 every day. And they are going to, John Gruden wants to practice outside. So what they're probably going to do with the Raiders is go out at about 7:15 in the morning and stay out until, you know, 9:15, 9:30. But the acclimation of the Raiders with a very good young team to this team that is playing every day is going to be practicing and working in weather that's 40 degrees hotter is going to be just, I don't know why. I think that's almost as interesting as is Derek Carr the guy long term, you know, because it's just a different world that they're going to have to get used to. But those are, I mean, we could talk about 40 other little storylines, but those are two things that I'm really going to keep an eye on.
Peter King with us. Football Morning in America. Make sure you check out all of his content right there in the Peter King podcast. The Arizona Cardinals have a player at quarterback that many are saying, well, is he the next Patrick Mahomes? Year two, the leap that Kyler Murray could break and make. When you look at Kyler Murray, Peter, what do you see in year number two for him? Obviously, they've added DeAndre Hopkins, but what do you see? What do you hear? What do you think about Kyler Murray and where his growth is?
Well, any rookie quarterback, you know, in his rookie year is going to have some rough patches. He didn't have a lot of them. And he looked like one of the things that I really admired last year about Kyler Murray is that the game was definitely not too big for him. Now, he made some mistakes. He had to run around quite a bit. You know, he doesn't have the best line in football. He still doesn't. But when you have a good receiving core and you add DeAndre Hopkins to it, adding a guy without having a major subtraction, because clearly, you know, Kenyon Drake is, you know, by, you could see it by Thanksgiving last year, he was the Cardinals running back. He totally fits what Cliff Kingsbury wants a running back to be, with that versatility and also with the ability to do the basic thing that a running back is going to have to do, which is, you know, run between the tackles in any offense. But right now, I'm really intrigued to see what the combination, you know, of Kirk Fitzgerald Hopkins is going to be able to do, especially with a quarterback who is not going to get sacked very much, is going to be able to move around. He can keep plays alive. To me, the transition for Hopkins is not going to be that major from Deshaun Watson to Kyler Murray. He's got a quarterback with a deceivingly good arm who moves around very, very well. Both of them playing behind lines that are not very good. And I look at it right now and I say that I think Hopkins is, hey, look, we all know that DeAndre Hopkins is absolutely determined and burning to show the football world that he still is. He knows, he's heard the whispers, you know, that the Texans thought that maybe he had seen his peak. And look, I think he's going to be a really, really good receiver for the next 3 or 4 years. I think Steve Keim got a steal. The football world thinks Steve Keim got a steal. I'm really excited about watching that combination.
It'll be interesting to see with Steve Keim in the contract negotiation too, because the NFL doesn't know about fans and stands. And yes, there's dollars out there, but budgets and everything during COVID for 2021, from what I hear, that's not as clear. And so DeAndre Hopkins' dollars, that'll be just a storyline to keep an eye on. How do you think it impacts Fitz? You've done so much with Larry, and I've asked you through the years, is this Larry's last year? Over and over and over. And every year, it's I think we both just enjoy seeing him go out and compete. But how do you think DeAndre Hopkins impacts Fitz And does your gut say this is it for Larry?
I have asked him this question 10 times, and every time he said, I've asked him the question, can you or can anyone catch Jerry Rice? And he said, absolutely no way. And I forget how many catches he is away, but he's 2 years away from passing Jerry Rice. The question, and I asked him again either late last year or at some point, and he said, no, he's not going to do it. But I think it would be silly to think, knowing Larry Fitzgerald's absolute, you know, love of NFL history, love of football, that if he gets within 63 catches of Jerry Rice, after this season, he's going to have to be tempted to do it. And I think what is remarkable about Fitzgerald right now, when I look at him, he really has a Gumby kind of body. And maybe he doesn't feel like that. I think it was 3 or 4 years ago where I saw him after a preseason game, and he had like this sort of electric stimulator attached to his back. And, you know, and so obviously, you know, he was having some back pain then. But that's the only concession in his entire career that I've ever seen to Larry Fitzgerald about his health. And I look at it right now, honestly, and I just think, I'm not saying that he can play another 2 years. I'm saying he can if he wants to. Sure. The question is, does he really, really want to? I'll be really curious to see whether he wants to do it. Clearly, he is a citizen of the Valley. He's staying in Arizona, rightfully so. Clearly, in his life, he could have gone somewhere else. In his football life, he could have gone somewhere else. He doesn't want to. He wants to be one of these fixtures, which he will be. And I think it's going to be great to see his football afterlife, but I have a sneaking feeling that he's going to play 2 more years.
Mm.
In defiance of what he says, I mean, you know, he's going to be pretty close after this year. So we'll see.
Yeah. And in his afterlife, to me, I agree with you on that. He bought into the Phoenix Suns, a franchise that now he's part of the ownership group, and they've not made the playoffs in 10 years. He'll sit with the owner and I hope consult him on how miserable the team is. And I think his broadcast stuff, he's worked on the Westwood One Monday Night package. I think he set himself up nicely to maybe go after one of those marquee A-booth opportunities when his career is over. Interesting on that front. Peter, before I get you out of here, the NFC West. So the Cardinals, I think, are on the uptick, but really competitive division. Really interesting situation out in Los Angeles where they went through some change, obviously, and took a step back. Seattle keeps reloading. You referred to it in your column this week about they may be an Antonio Brown landing spot. And then you have the 49ers or Super Bowl team. So the Cardinals just have too many mountains to climb out here?
They got a lot of mountains to climb, but they're going to be a good team. I mean, they're going to be hard to beat. That doesn't mean that they have enough weapons, particularly on defense, to win, although obviously, they're an improved defensive team. They're improved on both sides of the ball. Question, I think, is that the team in this division that mystifies me is the Rams.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, they're only, whatever, a year and a half away, whatever it is, from being in the Super Bowl. And yet, it seems like such a long time ago. Yeah. And you don't really know who Jared Goff is. In my opinion, if you could tell me that Jared Goff would be the 11th best quarterback in football this year, I would tell you the Rams will win 10 games. But you can't tell me that because we don't know that. I think that right now the pecking order would be 49ers, Seahawks, almost pick it out of a vase there or whatever, or pick it out of a hat. And then I think I would say the Rams just maybe a field goal better than the Cardinals right now, but it will not surprise me at all if the Cardinals are third, possibly second. But I think the Seahawks, especially getting Jamal Adams, really have answered a major, major issue, which is that Seattle's secondary really hurt them last year. And they needed a hammer back there. And I think it was a great trade for that team, even though they had to give up 2 ones to go out and get Jamal Adams. So it's the most fascinating division. And to me, it's the best division from 1 to 4 in the NFL, because there is not close to a weak link. As a matter of fact, Brad, think about it. Both Western divisions, in my opinion, you easily could make the argument that the two best divisions, maybe for the first time since I have been covering the NFL, are the AFC West and NFC West. It depends, I think, on just in the NFC West, I got no doubt about it, but depends on Drew Lock, and it depends on whether all these young players for the Raiders can hit the ground running, because they're relying on so many young players. But to me, I think all 8 of those teams, if you look at the 8 teams in the 2 Western divisions, you tell me right now, if a good team had a road game, you pick the worst one. You pick the worst one. Let's say you want to pick Denver. A good team in the NFL has a road game at Denver this year.
No,
and I'm telling you, if Drew Lock is a B quarterback, his weaponry is absolutely outstanding. They could beat anybody. And so I'm fascinated. When you asked me that question at the beginning of this, I wish I had said, I'm totally, absolutely fascinated by the 2 Western divisions.
Yeah, there's a column for you. That's good stuff. And I would just add this before I get you out of here, and that is, it all depends on who doesn't opt out, I guess, with the world that we're living in right now.
It does, Brad, but you have to figure now. I'm not saying nobody else is going to opt out. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if Devin McCourty opted out. But I think the storm has passed in that regard. And I'm not saying, as I say, I mean, 42 right now have opted out. Yeah. There might be a few more, but I think the storm has passed.
As always, it's good to hear you, see you, and I'm glad you're healthy and doing well. And your podcast this week with Lamar Jackson and John Harbaugh, that's good stuff there. Peter, thank you so much.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me, Brad. Have a great week out there.
There's Peter King with us via Skype. Appreciate Peter's time. Football morning in America. And we're back with more after this time. All right, as promised, Michael Fabiano, SiriusXM, and the newest landing spot for Mr. Fabiano that has been rolled out for him on a national platform is
Sports Illustrated. Very excited about joining the team at SI Fantasy. Started off yesterday. A little crazy, though, man. A little bit of hectic. Made the announcement. Had a lot of great feedback from people on Twitter, man. It was really, really nice. And just fired up, man, for the next chapter in my career.
So what are you going to be doing? Same? Start sits? Weekly?
Right, exactly. So you can find my rankings on SI now. Start 'em and sit 'em, which obviously is, you know, a immensely popular column. This is my 21st year, Brad, writing that column. Wow. Going to be doing a lot of online video as well for SI, so make sure you check that out. I'm also going to be doing a show on Westwood One called the NFL Fantasy Forecast. That will be starting the weekend of August 21st, and you can find that on Westwood One Radio and on westwoodoneradio.com. You can check it out on demand. That's going to be a lot of fun as well.
Wow, look at you. Look at you, all these places.
And, of course, every week with Brad Sesmat.
How about that? We are shoehorned in. No, that's good stuff. All right. I hate to do this to you, but the mailbag is full of cowboy questions. This segment today, I've been dreading this segment for the last 48 hours.
Give my team some love. There's more Cowboys fans out there than Cardinals fans. Isn't that right?
Well, no. Yeah, water is wet. Okay, it's hot in August in Phoenix, more Cowboy fans and Cardinal fans by 100 miles. All right, so let's get into this. Ezekiel Elliott or Saquon Barkley? This question, I've just been pounded with to ask you, so fire away.
It's Saquon, and I'm a Cowboys fan, so you know I'm telling you the truth. I actually have Zeke's jersey right over my shoulder here. But it's definitely Saquon. He's a younger back. I can see him, Brad, getting drafted number one overall ahead of Christian McCaffrey, even after McCaffrey's ridiculous season in 2019. Saquon's got all the tools. We remember what he did as a rookie. Last year, he was very good in the second half of the season. At the back end, once he started to get healthier after that ankle injury sort of slowed him down, it's Saquon 2 and then Zeke 3.
By millimeters?
It's close. Yeah. It's Christian McCaffrey and Saquon are closer than Saquon and Zeke. But it is close.
All right. CeeDee Lamb. Where is CeeDee Lamb at in your view? How can you even know? They haven't had anything. You're just looking at it saying, here's where they are with wide receivers. But a lot of questions about CeeDee Lamb.
He's a wide receiver 4 in fantasy terms. And you just mentioned it. We haven't seen any OTAs. I mean, this is going to be a really odd season outside of the pandemic that we're in. But none of these rookies have had much work at all with their new teams. Same thing with players on new teams, like, say, Tom Brady. But, I mean, he's the GOAT, so maybe it doesn't matter as much.
Yeah.
So it's going to take time for the rookie wide receivers to gain a rapport with their respective quarterbacks, in this case, Dak Prescott, make sure that they're running the right routes, get on the same page as the quarterbacks. But I still feel like the ceiling is there. CeeDee Lamb is the most talented wide receiver to come out of the draft in the minds of most experts out there. If you talk to them during the 2020 draft, a lot of scouts had CeeDee Lamb up there at number one, ahead of Henry Ruggs, ahead of Jerry Jeudy. He lands in a great spot in terms of the offense, but you also have Amari Cooper and Michael Gallup there as well. So the target share won't be as great as if it were, say, if he landed with maybe the Jets or the Raiders. So wide receiver 4, but an exciting wide receiver 4. It's CeeDee Lamb, and he plays for the Cowboys.
I know. We're talking about the Hall of Famer, Michael Fabiano. He is now part of SI.com. He, of course, is with SiriusXM. He joins us every week. A lot of questions from Arizona State fans about Brandon Ayuk. Okay, so the 49ers did have an injury already at the receiver spot. Ayuk, what do you see from him? Really liked him down here. John Lynch, Herm Edwards, best friends. Herm gets him up to the 49ers. Johnny takes him.
Right, he's a wide receiver 4, probably in most leagues, maybe in a smaller league, a wide receiver 5, because you would expect him to see an increase in targets with Deebo Samuel out for maybe 4 weeks. I mean, we don't really know at this point, but he is expected to miss the start of the season. And as long as Deebo is out, there's going to be opportunities out there. Remember, Emmanuel Sanders is gone. He's in New Orleans right now, and they did bring in Jordan Reed, although who the heck knows how long Jordan Reed's going to be out there. As he's had so many injuries during his career. He could have been one of the greats. But Ayuk is certainly worth a look. Late rounder, wide receiver 4 with some upside because the opportunities are going to be there with Deebo out for maybe a month.
And plus, he's a really good special teams guy. That's where he rolled up a lot of yards when he was at Arizona State. Let's go in here to the mailbag, just scrolling through. Do you see any dip coming from Lamar Jackson after blowing up in 2019?
Yeah. But not a major one. It's funny, I'm going to be talking about this on my show today, Fantasy Dirt. It is something that fantasy owners always have to keep in mind. When a player is coming off a magical season, chances are he's not going to duplicate it. That doesn't mean he's going to be bad, Brad. But when you're coming off a season like Lamar Jackson had, I mean, he's probably not going to average 27 points a game. Maybe he'll average 22. That's still a 5 point per game dip. But it's damn good. Like Patrick Mahomes 2 years ago. Best fantasy season of all time at the quarterback position, right? Last year, almost half as many touchdown passes. That was it. He had 26. He missed a couple of games, but he went from averaging over 3 touchdowns a game to just 2. He was still really good. He averaged 20 points per game. He just wasn't as good. So I feel like the same is going to be in the case of Lamar Jackson. He'll be tremendous. But 27 points per game is a lot to ask in back-to-back seasons.
Look at you. You're spitting fire today. You're all fired up with the new gig at SI.com.
And that's right.
SiriusXM. All right, continuing the mailbag. Is Big Ben still a quarterback you're targeting late in drafts?
Yeah, as a QB2, yes. As a QB1, no. Remember, 2 years ago in 2018, he threw for over 5,100 yards and was the QB3 in fantasy. That's not going to happen again, not without AB and Le'Veon Bell. but he does have some really good young wide receivers in Juju Smith-Schuster, James Washington, and Deontay Johnson, who everyone in the industry loves. They brought in Chase Claypool. Eric Ebron is now in the mix, so he's not hurting for weapons. I feel like the big thing with Big Ben is, I mean, can he stay healthy? He's an older quarterback who missed last season, and so that's the big question mark. He could end up being a draft bargain. I would not be shocked if he was a QB top 10, top 12 in 2020. And based on where you're getting him in drafts, which is far outside the top 100, he is certainly worth a look. No doubt about that as a QB2.
All right, before I get you out of here, what is going on this week that's really caught your eye in the fantasy world in football? Not Aaron Judge in baseball is flying out of the ballpark. Okay, I just had to jump.
Well, that one, I mean, did you see that? That was a bomb, bro.
Did I see that?
And we swept those rotten Red Sox. It was great. Pick their butts. We've lost one game. Garrett Cole's looking good. I just hope the dance season continues and finishes with a Pinstripe World Championship. With that being said, what I am noticing is there's a lot of concern about these players who are opting out.
Right.
And we've seen 8 or 9 Patriots already opt out. The Jets lost C.J. Mosley. Damian Williams has opted out. There's been a lot of names. Devin Funchess has opted out. And I think there's concern out there that maybe Matthew Stafford could opt out. Remember, he is tested positive for COVID. His wife, God bless her, went through some serious health issues over the last year plus. So there could be other big names that opt out here before the deadline on Thursday. And that's a big point of contention in the fantasy world. If you're drafting right now, Brad, Matthew Stafford has lost a little bit of that luster because there is that looming possibility that he could potentially decide that he doesn't want to play this season. Right. His wife, he's got young children as well. So it's something we all have to deal with. And whatever decision Stafford makes, obviously, it's going to be the best for him and his family.
Well, and hopefully by this, I believe it's Friday now, is going to be the last day to opt out. But I still think, Michael, there's going to be twists and turns on the whole opting out thing as the season, before we even get to the season. I'm no expert on that or in healthcare, but I think in the world of fantasy, you could take a guy, if you're doing drafts now, you should just tell your commissioner to push it back. I know we talk about that every week, but this opt-out thing, they say Friday, nobody knows what this virus is going to do. And so I could certainly see players say 2 weeks from now, I know I didn't hit the deadline, but I'm too well to attend, okay? I mean, I just really think that could happen.
If players do decide to go that route, that's going to be interesting because there's going to be issues there between the NFL and the NFLPA because they have to agree to this opt-out deadline.
Yeah. No, there's no question about it.
I mean, look at what Odell Beckham Jr. said in that interview, right? He was talking about 2 weeks ago, he doesn't think there should be a season. Of course, then he sort of backtracked on that once he saw all of the precautions and protocols that the Browns were taking. But there's a lot of players out there, Brad, that maybe coming into the season thinking, I'm going to play, but I'm not sure how safe I feel. But the NFL is doing everything they can. It's sort of, you know, it's one of those situations where, like, we have the pandemic and the NFL season is coming, and the NFL is going to do everything it can to plow through any problems they have with this pandemic and play this season in whole. And hopefully people like us and the fans out there hope that does happen. And we do get through a season through the playoffs and crown a Super Bowl champion. Maybe the Cowboys. Maybe
they listen to you. You're just going to be
in there.
You are going to just bang me over the head if the Yankees keep winning and the Cowboys have a good start to the season. But I will enjoy it. Congratulations on SI.com. Again, where can people find you at that landing spot?
Yeah, so SI Fantasy, you're going to be able to find me there. And, of course, Michael_Fabiano on Twitter. Everything that I write, everything that I post will be on social media, so you can find that as well. But, again, go to SI for all of my fantasy content.
Good seeing you. Congratulations. Stay well. Thanks.
You too, my friend.
There's Michael Fabiano with us from SiriusXM and SI.com. He's becoming a media mogul. And of course, he's here every week, which we like. And we're back with more after this timeout.